of the system controller to get out of here real quick. So we're going to go to item number two, and then we'll come back to item number one.
From the Director of Audit's Office of the Comptroller, submitting a written report titled Residency of Contractor Employees Working on County Construction Contracts, responsive to file number 10-135 and requesting County Board action to receive and place on file said report and to concur with the recommendations provided therein. This item was also referred to the Committee on Economic and Community Development, which approved it by a vote of 6-0.
Correct. And this is from the Comptroller Audit Services. Mr. Hare.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. Jerry Hare, Director of Audits for the Milwaukee County Comptroller. The memo that you have before you today is our review of the residency of contractor employees, individuals who work for construction companies that we've hired to do work for the county. We looked at about a year and a half's worth of invoices for verification of payments to contractors, employees who reside in Milwaukee County. As you know, the target is 50%. And what we found for 37 projects where that requirement applied, the department was able to achieve 47% of the payroll for those contractors going to county residents. Unfortunately, we also noted that there were 9 other projects where it really wasn't clear whether or not the residency goal had been established, whether it was in place. If you account for those and bring them into the analysis, the overall achievement of the 50% residency goal drops to about 34%. So we saw issues with how data is collected, how contractors' information is reviewed, how it's aggregated and monitored by facilities management. I should point out, too, that this requirement does not apply to all contracts. At the present time, the federal and state pass-through dollars are not subject to this requirement, which is why when you look at the totals on the first page of the memos, the total payroll with the 47% metric was $919,000, and the total payroll on the other 9 contracts was about $882,000. So we've got a smaller opportunity here because of the inability to attach this provision to the contracts involving federal and state money. We laid out 5 recommendations to management that essentially call for them to do a better job of documenting whether the goal is in play, of documenting whether or not it's been reached, and that'll involve getting information from contractors that's more useful, and then verifying that information. And the other thing we've talked about and we need to see implemented is the whole idea of having sanctions used if the goal is not met, if there's been a commitment to reach it. So those are our 5 recommendations. As the clerk noted, ECD committee supported the resolution that's attached to this packet, 6-0 vote, and we would ask you to do the same.
There be a motion that we occur with DC economic development. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions for Mr. Hare. There's discussion in the recommendations number 3, basically about how the reporting forms on wages are difficult. There was discussion earlier in there about how difficult they are to reconcile and whatnot. And it struck me, aren't we already monitoring those relative to Davis Bacon, prevailing wage, and all that? So if we can't do it for residency, how are we doing it on things that we've been doing for 20 or 30 years?
The difference is that those requirements are not necessarily residency-based. So
right.
It sounds absurd, but it's the addition of one column of additional data to their standard reporting that goes to where their employees live. I mean, obviously, we believe that's achievable in the age of technology and spreadsheets. There's got to be a way that we can have our contractors use a template that includes every data element needed to verify compliance with all requirements, Davis-Bacon, Hatch, prevailing wage, residency, any other provisions are attached. As a matter of social policy or law, we ought to be able to verify. Easier to say than do, but doable. I should add that we do have a commitment from management to address each of the five recommendations. Given the situation at the courthouse, they've asked until October to reply to each of the five, but I would expect at that time we can hopefully get more details fleshed out on how we can make this more enforceable and useful to those of you who are engaged in oversight as well as those in management who are charged with implementing this requirement.
And then in terms of, I guess I was surprised at how few projects it applied to. Is this not applying to certain departments like parks? And I mean, how they'd have to have projects that are totally more than this that are going on.
It does apply to parks projects if there's no federal or state money involved, and as you know, they have relatively less compared to any aspect of transportation, whether it's highway, airport, even facilities, or even fleet or maintenance. But the period we looked at was a year and a half, so we tried to get as many contracts as possible in that time frame. That's just how many there were that met this requirement. As I'm answering your question, I'm thinking maybe next time it would be helpful for you if we identify all the contracts, those that it applies to and those that it didn't, so you can readily see that where there's federal money, you know, it's a lot of activity. I mean, the federal and state funded programs are significant in our capital project list. Right. But I think I could help answer your question if we give you that detail next time.
Okay. And then did you detect any pattern relative to particularly of the nine, I think it was the nine projects that were unclear, were those all in one department or?
Mr. Chairman, the pattern wasn't necessarily within departments. It was more within individual employees who were managing the contracts. Some were more aware or savvy or motivated, whatever. I think Mr. High would probably tell you they're all motivated, but the unevenness was kind of more in the realm of who was managing the contract versus what kind of contract it was or which department owned it. And knowing Mr. High for all these years, my firm belief is that the next time you see this, any unevenness in that regard will be addressed.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for scheduling it. It continues to be of interest and continues to be disappointing, the fact that we're essentially exporting two-thirds of our labor. So, thank you.
Yes, but you have to work with the company, the ones who export, because basically, when you look at a number of things within Milwaukee County, instead of being from Milwaukee County, we look for people up in Wausau, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They come from them, they bring them down and put them up. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? We have a motion to concur with economic development. Madam Clerk, please call the roll. On concurrent.
Wyshawn?
Aye.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to concur with the Committee on Economic and Community Development is approved.
Second, Mr. Hare.